Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Conscious Vibe Podcast,
where we elevate intellect through conscious dialogue
while exploring race, politics, business, and culture.
I'm Dr. Daryl L. Jones.
And I'm Charles D. Mitchell. Welcome to the Conscious Vibe. DJ.
My man.
We're back.
We are.
I dig it. We're doing it. I love it.
It's feeling good.
Got my good friend here once again join us. Divorce attorney extraordinaire, Lawrence Hirsch.
Gentlemen. Pleasure to be back.
His friends is Larry.
Welcome. It's good to have you again.
It is a pleasure to be back.
Well, first
More
question
than you guys know.
First question. Okay. First question, jumping right into this. Best place to get a divorce.
Wait, on which side?
I'm joking. I'm joking.
I'm totally joking.
For the record, Florida.
Florida?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good to leave it there.
If you're the one with the resources or the one seeking?
Correct. If you're the one with the resources, I think Florida is probably the best state to get a divorce.
And the worst?
California.
Oof, yeah.
Got it.
It's not surprising. Well, anyway, I thought we'd talk a little bit about, first of all, best sports town, which would mean, from my perspective, best fans, best competitive teams, and best environment if you were an athlete where you'd want to be.
So I like the idea because we kind of talked about this before. But we need to define best fans.
Of course we do.
Love it.
So is it best fan? Does that mean the most consecutive sellouts? Does that mean the most devoted, the most jerseys in the crowd, the craziest, the loudest, the meanest? So can you define that before we dive into this spectacle?
You know how long it could take to define the word fan?
Well, it does derive from fanatic.
Or fanatic derives from fan. Right?
I think fan is short. Short for fanatic. So do we use that as our baseline? Are we going into who's the craziest?
That gives it a twist, doesn't it?
Well, because then you just go Philadelphia and you end it right there.
I think you're right. I think it would end in Philly. It'd be all over. We just shut the show down.
Well, Boston's right up there with it.
I don't think anybody's crazy than Philly fans.
Huh? Honest.
You ever gone to an Eagles football game?
Yes. Have you gone to a Boston anything?
Watch 10 fights in a game? You ever seen that?
But they're fighting each other.
There's 10 fights in every NFL. Yeah. That's another thing we should talk about.
What?
We're going to get there. Can I do that? Can I direct this conversation?
I think
we should get into the NFL experience.
Okay.
NFL fan experience.
No, I don't mind.
Live?
And whether the three of us even want to go to an NFL game.
No. Because that's going to turn me completely off talking about NFL experience. What is the experience supposed to be?
Well, there is. I mean, for me now, there is none. I won't go to an NFL game.
I don't have a desire to go.
I have no desire to go to an NFL game.
Watching the fans fight in the stands.
Yeah.
Watching people throw stuff at each other.
How about college?
I think college is very different. College is a great atmosphere usually to go watch a ball game.
I would agree. But back to the question at hand.
Yes.
Mr. Definition of Fan.
Charles is like, look, it's my show. Get off your tangents. Let's bring this back home.
Best sports city.
Come on. All right. I would have to go with, if we were talking in the United States. Okay. Yes. So we're gonna open this up.
And I promise you, DJ won't throw the chair at you.
And I'm going to go beyond. If we're talking in the United States, it's got to be Boston. See, and I know DJ doesn't like it.
I knew it.
So if we look at it.
I'm not judgmental at all. I got to hear more, man. You got to come with it.
I'm a Chicago boy saying Boston. You take a look at. Okay, so Charles gave us a few metrics. Okay, number one was fans. I mean, the Garden was always sold out for the Celts or the Bruins. Foxborough hasn't had an empty seat in it for 35 years, even when it was the other stadium. Fenway hasn't had an empty seat in 40 years. So now you're talking all four major sports sold out. New England Revolution sold out. I mean, How many colleges do they have there that they're supporting college athletics? You got the Beanpot College Hockey. I mean, one of the most unbelievable tournaments in the country. I just don't see how it's not the number one sports town.
No, what?
Beanpot.
Oh, the Beanpots.
Do you know that?
And then you got...
I mean, I know you watch hockey all the time.
You got hoops at the Palestra. I mean, you got one of the great tournaments when, you know, Temple plays Penn at the Palace, the Palestra, you know it?
Where?
It's where Penn plays.
No, no.
Oh, no, that's in Philly. Sorry.
Like, what are you talking about? That's like, what do you mean?
I'm a little nervous.
Temple and Penn. I'm like, we're talking about Boston.
No.
So did you mean Boston or did you mean Philly?
No, I meant Boston. Okay.
Can we clarify? Okay. Which city are you talking about?
And the success of their teams, obviously. I mean, how many titles do they have across the board?
Do we need to clarify what state they're into?
Yes.
You know, you raise performance matters. So if you look at Patriots, you look at Celtics.
Bruins have had a great run.
And the Sox are always somewhat competitive, right?
The Sox spend the money. They have good ownership.
I'm
going to keep it really simple.
You convince me that they are in the conversation.
I would say they have to be in the conversation.
And here's the other thing. Sports moves that city. Sports is a serious issue in the city. The city has a vibe about it that is controlled to some degree by its sports teams, by the performance. Chicago is somewhat similar. LA, I don't think it's even close. New York, a little bit. Chicago, a little bit. I mean, out west, I don't think they have that same vibe where the town is on pins and needles because of what's going on with one of their sports teams.
I think there's a town out west that would fit the bill for having really great fans, win or lose.
I'm scared about this.
All the time.
This is your number one?
Yeah, I'm going to argue this is my number one.
You're not going to argue San Francisco, are you?
No.
Oh,
okay.
No.
Los Angeles?
No.
Seattle?
Portland, Oregon.
Portland.
Portland.
Charles. Portland.
Portland, it's with its one team?
With its two teams.
You're counting soccer. Timbers.
You show up at a Timbers game. Or even a Thorns.
Timbers is good stuff.
It's really good stuff.
Now, but that can't propel Portland into the top tier.
I can't tell you how many times I've seen people watching from the Mac Club, watching the Timber play.
Because the stadium's so small.
But you got to watch from somewhere.
Well, Portland, the Timber Stadium has one side.
People live and breathe the Portland Trailblazers. Rip City.
Else there.
Well, I'm just saying, when you have a captive audience, they could go do something else. They can go to Mount Hood and go skiing.
What about performance, though?
They go to wine country, but they show up.
DJ, well, you know, I was seriously thinking about maybe going Oklahoma City as best sports town because that's
the same logic.
That's ridiculous. That's not logic at all. That's ridiculous.
Charles.
I'm talking about places where you don't have fair weather fans. They show up all the time, win or lose. They root for their team all the time.
I appreciate where you're coming from. That being said, I don't think that Portland would fall into my top 10.
No, you're out of your mind. You're out
Charles,
of your
it
mind.
I'm
top 10? Top 10.
First of all, they don't have top enough 10? Teams to even
Who cares?
Be in the conversation.
I'm talking about fans in a city where people really care about their sports teams.
That's one aspect of it. And I think
what
one
else
aspect,
are we talking about?
Well,
you don't have to have 10 teams
performance
to be competitive.
Oh, I think you need to have three or
no,
four.
No, you don't
though.
Need to have three or four. Why?
That's what makes it a great sports
no,
town
true.
Is their
that's
support across the board.
That's not true. I think having fewer sports teams, quite frankly, is a good measure because it shows you that the people that are there that probably have an appetite for more, they take what they can get and they go for it.
So
and they root for that team. They support that team. They live and breathe through wins and losses.
Is that the most important thing in that city?
Yeah.
Then you smiling because you know you're lying.
What am I supposed to say? No. It is one of the most important things in that city.
No.
Absolutely
is. Clearly the most important thing in that
Absolutely
city.
Absolutely one of the most important. I've had some of the best moments I've ever had in sports watching a Portland Trail Blazers basketball game. What do you mean, how old?
Were you a kid?
I didn't live there growing up.
Right, but where did you go as a kid?
I didn't live there. How could I go there as a kid when I didn't live there?
But I can't imagine you thought that.
No, why wouldn't I? Why wouldn't I? Watching Damian Lillard catch a three and knock it down knock the Houston Rockets out of the playoffs?
Do you think you're biased?
And the crowd goes nuts, like full house.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Portland podcast. We just reviewed Portland food.
Let me say now this.
We're talking about the quality of the fan.
I think I would challenge you both to think about the question. Because it wasn't professional sports, right?
I said Sport City.
Okay. So,
and we can take that all the way. You know Oregon Duck fans are like all over Portland.
But that's not Portland. But here's the
I said they're Eugene. All over. I know it's not Eugene, yeah. But the so fans we, are well, we can't the, do that. The fans are in Portland. Most of them, tons of people who go to U of O live in Portland.
Well, it's kind of split between Oregon State and Oregon.
Nah,
but
I don't think it's split.
But here's the point.
Oregon State would like for that. And I actually root for Oregon State over Oregon okay. all day long.
But here's the deal. When we talk about sport, we can't just talk about professional, right?
Of course.
We got to talk about college. And we got to talk about high school. When we think about professionals that come out of Portland, kind of slight, even Boston, from the high school level, slight. What does high school sport mean slight. To professional sport when we take your cities? So who's the best football player to come out of Boston? Who's the best professional football player to come out of Portland?
So by that measure,
Adama Kasu.
Out of Portland. Yeah, he is.
Probably.
How about Boston?
I couldn't even tell you who's
that's
the best.
A problem. See, to me, that's a problem. If high school sport isn't vibrant there and college sport isn't vibrant there, I struggle with that.
DJ, college sports in Boston, I think, is extremely Portland, vibrant. No, if you're including U of O, then
you're
yes.
not, though, because we say Portland.
But by your metric, we're just all we're going to do is look at L.A., Texas, and Florida.
Pretty and much. New York.
Pretty much. Football?
New York? New York produces some good basketball players, and now we're done with the analysis. Maybe a couple good hockey players from upstate.
Give me the football? Best. Give me
New
the
York,
best.
New York high, football? I don't
know. Give me the best high school basketball player to come out of Boston. They went to the pros and name him or her.
I'm sure I could. If I thought about it long.
Name Portland.
Came out of Portland?
Yeah.
Basketball player?
Yep.
That's some really good basketball Who? Players. Damon Stoudemire, for one. You got Kevin Love, who's a current player. You got, gosh, who else?
He was really like Oswego, but.
I know Lake yeah. Oswego. Okay, I know he went to Lake Oswego.
I just think.
So what would be, using that metric.
Can it be a then, barber too?
What would be your answer man. Then? Are you talking, all right, then Dallas is the best sports city in America? Or Los Angeles?
No.
I agree. No. I mean, I wouldn't.
Absolutely not.
But. But we're all just using different metrics, and
just
it's a beautiful
Just because you got
thing.
A kid come out of high school that can play football.
I mean, I agree with you, Charles, but I've got to give some deference to our
Well, coach. I think we have to look at dual gender, one, right? So on the – as it we talk about women's sports, are we going to include that, right?
Yeah, we should.
Yeah, but that doesn't make – DJ, I have to disagree with you.
What part are you disagreeing
with? I'm disagreeing with your concept that because a bunch of good high school athletes come out of a certain area or city that it makes it a good sports city.
I totally agree with that.
That just means that you have some talent and maybe some good coaches.
That's all that means.
Okay, that's fair. Let me be clear about my concept. My concept is if you can't include high school in the conversation, you're falling short. It's not just about professional sport is my point. High school and college matters in this conversation.
That's why Boston still wins this discussion.
Now, who's the most iconic college team in Boston?
Well, why right does now? It got to be about whoever comes out of that scenario? What about if you're going to talk about high school sports, who supports it, right? Fans support high school sports. And if they are showing up in droves to a high school game, that's probably meaningless.
That's every city USA.
Yeah, but there's differences. No, I mean, I think you just fall back again to Texas. I mean, Texas and Florida.
So you're kind of making a point, I think.
No, there's no point being made.
I mean, think.
You're
think,
saying you can't argue Dallas?
No chance.
No, no
you
chance.
Can't argue Dallas you can't is argue,
no chance. You can't argue no New York City? You're going to tell me you wouldn't choose Dallas over Portland?
I would choose Dallas over Portland.
Okay.
Yes. I would. But this is interesting because I think if you are looking at football and even basketball to some degree, Miami, South Florida produces some of the best talent in the country.
Absolutely.
And I would argue that Miami is arguably the worst sports city
Not a chance.
In North America.
Not even close.
at the professional level.
I mean, so we're going to measure a sports city by
you can't exclude it
by Pee Wee football.
You got to start somewhere. You got to start somewhere. Personally, I'm probably going to go New York.
But I think that's fair.
I don't know. I mean,
Madison Square Garden. Come on, man.
An argument can be made for New York.
Of course, Madison
Square Garden. Isn't that the conversation?
Yankee Stadium is iconic.
Yeah.
You guys are kind of making my point. The Yankees are iconic. The fan support's amazing.
Kind of make.
New York is a city that eats and breathes
sports.
All of their teams, their sports, even their college. When St. John's was good.
I don't even need to say anything else.
I'll give you a plug. I'll give you a plug that has nothing to do with any of those other sports. But I went out to the U.S. Open a few weeks ago. That was amazing.
That's fantastic.
That was okay, fantastic. So let's keep going. That U.S. Open, one of the most iconic events in tennis. If you're a boxer, what do you say? I felt like I was a boxer when I fought at
MSG.
If you're a UFC fighter, right? Hoops. How many cities have?
That was Vegas.
How many cities have as many sports teams as New York?
Probably just LA.
They don't though. How many hoop teams does New York have?
Well, I mean,
three. Well, I guess now are you
Brooklyn?
Now we're getting into, are we talking metropolitan area? Are we including
New
Jersey?
Well, if we're talking about Eugene, I guess we're gonna go 3 hours south.
I said you said U of O. Support the school live in Portland.
So let's bring New Jersey into. Okay, so we'll pull New Jersey.
But I think you're coming in with New York is perfectly appropriate. There's a good basis for it. It works. Boston, good basis for it. It works. Portland, it's a struggle. It's a struggle for you to get there, counselor.
Yeah, well, that's me. I mean, I'm sticking to it.
Are you serious, though, about that?
I'm sticking to it.
You still, you're there.
I like their fan base. I like their fans. I like the way they approach sports.
Charles, they don't have anything else to do.
Well, that's part of it. They could do something else, though. That's plenty of things you could do.
You could go wine tasting.
You go wine tasting. You go to the beach.
You can't even do that in Portland.
What beach are you going to? It's on a river.
It's an hour and a half away from the beach. You ever been there?
He's talking about Cannon Beach.
Oh, now you're getting
it's so cold, you start shivering, but when you get a mile away from it.
You make a day trip.
You keep expanding this. There's
nothing he said about Portland yet.
No, I'm saying what I'm talking about is what other things you could do. You don't have to do anything sports-wise, but they choose to.
What if you want to see a really good college game? Can you go do that in Portland?
Yeah,
45 minutes.
Portland State.
What's their mascot?
Yeah, the Pilots.
No, it's not.
University of Portland Pilots.
What's Portland State's mascot?
Hell, I don't know.
That's
I don't go to the game.
That's a problem.
Can we all agree that LA is not?
I don't live there either. I don't live in
more
Portland.
So than Portland. LA
I don't live in that. Why am I supposed to know when I don't live there?
Well, you're supposed to know because you're saying it's the most iconic sports
for people who
city
live
the
there.
Country.
It is one of them of the people who live there.
No, for you was the question.
Correct. I like it. I like it.
I think that the Timbers and the Trailblazers and the Trailblazers
and the Thorns
have really good fans.
Yep.
And it's very important to those fans.
And actually, really
what's
good
a good fan?
They have like
what's a good fan?
Hockey.
You know, that's a great question.
What's a good fan? They show up and they get rowdy. They have season tickets.
Nah.
They're loyal to no end. Is that really good?
I don't. This is a great question. I don't think we've got the time for
I don't
it
like
today.
Fans in general,
but I remember. So we would be at – I've had tickets for the Coyotes for years, season tickets. I mean, it's arguably the worst organization in all of sports. But I'm a hockey guy. I mean, it's pro hockey. And I used to sit there in our seats and I'd be screaming and booing and boo, boo. People behind me, would you be quiet? You're not supporting the team. And I said, in my way, I think I am supporting the team.
Yeah, absolutely.
They need to know that
– They need to have objective fans.
That
right?
Being in last place – for 8 years in a row is not acceptable.
Even though you keep showing up.
Exactly. So that to me, but is that not a good fan? Someone who recognizes they stink. Someone who knows enough about management to know the bad decisions that they're making. But someone who will still go to the games, support them, and let them know when they're bad. I think that's a fair fan.
All right. So we got 25 minutes. What else are we going to talk about?
What was the other one? You want to talk
about
the most iconic athlete?
Ever.
Yeah, you said
ever.
Yes.
Okay, let's be reasonable. Let's say 70s on.
Well, you know my answer, so I'll go last.
Why are you going last?
Because I think there's only one
answer.
Guess.
You should go first.
All right.
Scottie Pippen again. By the way, have you heard who Scottie Pippen's ex-wife is dating now?
No.
No.
Michael Jordan's son.
Get really?
Out. Yeah. That's the news.
Well, good for I mean, I'm going to go Michael Jordan.
No.
Absolutely.
No.
He is the most iconic athlete of all time, and there are a myriad of reasons for it.
And how do you define iconic? We want to give you the
iconic luxury. Here, I'll give you a great example. Whenever I would travel, remember, I grew up in Chicago. I mean, and so I would be traveling anywhere in the world. Someone would say, where are you from? Chicago. Oh, Michael Jordan. That was the first thing that anyone anywhere in the world would think about. Pause for 1 second. There's not another athlete that would ever garner a response like that. So your question was,
say Kobe's name anywhere in the world. Same thing.
I don't think so. I don't know. No, here's Charles disagree.
You can say Kobe. So and I'm not saying Kobe's,
here's the difference.
Iconic, but you can say that.
If you're traveling through the world and someone asks you, Charles, where are you from? And you say, I'm from Los Angeles. The first thing they were saying was not Kobe Bryant. The first thing they would say is, oh, Hollywood, movies, coastline, sunshine.
Maybe Lakers before.
Maybe right? Lakers, maybe Shaquille O'Neal, maybe Magic Johnson, maybe the Dodgers. When you say you're from Chicago, it was one thing and it's been one thing for the last 40 years. Michael Jordan. He's iconic in every single way. He changed sports marketing. He changed the way people look at African Americans. He changed the way people look at athletes. He changed sports.
He changed the way people look at African Americans.
Absolutely.
I didn't say it. Why are you like?
I said it.
What do you mean by that?
I think that he became a icon in the highest regard of somebody who has everything in their life done perfectly, done right. Whether that was true is a different story. He said the right things. He had the right marketing team behind him. He was absolutely iconic in every way. I mean, I think there's just no
how do you think
who people, can touch him.
How do you think people were looking at African Americans prior to Michael?
I think that there is, we all know, I think that he created the acceptance of
ball heads.
He created a lot more acceptance of, you know, someone, I think, rooting for an African-American.
More so than Bill Russell?
Well, you're missing the big one.
Yeah, I think that Bill Russell wasn't on the same stage by any stretch of the imagination. The NBA wasn't what it was. I mean, you look at the game that you love, Michael Jordan changed.
The man's basically the ambassador for the game of basketball.
Bill Russell?
Is he yours?
I'm not saying he's mine.
How many,
I'm just saying. I'm
Charles,
just
how many teams were in the NBA when Bill Russell was, was the face of the league? Eight?
They were more than eight.
Eight, 12?
They were more than eight. They were probably at least 20. And how? 24.
And what was he was around for a long time.
Long time.
What was the scope
of? Not only did he play the game, but he coached the game, man.
What was the scope of television at that point in time when Bill Russell was in the game? Were people from China watching the NBA? Were people from Europe watching the NBA?
No. I can't. But you
asked, I can't make
him be a victim of the time where technology didn't allow.
But was it possible for him to even be the most iconic given those circumstances?
Correct. But in terms of,
I may add,
you look at
the question was also since the 1970s.
But if you also, look at, he was in the 1970s. What are you talking about? I mean, the man just died a few years ago. I mean, a few months ago.
But he wasn't playing. He wasn't.
Who cares? He's revered by this generation of players for the man he was, not only from a game of basketball, but you want to talk about black people in this country. I mean, the man was a civil rights icon in a lot of respects. Very well regarded and respected. Certainly a big part of the movement.
I don't disagree
with that. You guys, I think, are really... So you mentioned something about changing the perception of black folks. We're missing somebody.
Well, I mean, that's why I said Bill Russell. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, we're still.
But you wouldn't argue that Bill Russell was the most iconic athlete of all time.
I wasn't saying that, but I was just putting him in a conversation. You said what you said about Michael Jordan, and I don't think he holds a candle to Bill Russell.
And that's
social issues that impact black athletes and black people.
You understand? Mine was more of the whole enchilada.
And I think
it
should be.
And so, the question was most iconic of all time.
Muhammad Ali. Hands down.
I don't. I think it'd be really hard to argue that that's not true.
Is it yours?
It would have to be.
Yeah.
I mean, it would have to be.
Again, the difference, the difference in Michael and Ali, one of the differences, is Ali forced people who despised him to look at themselves, not him, because he made such sense of things. And he would go into other countries and other continents and talk about who he was. There were things that he just wouldn't compromise. Him going over and doing what he did to Foreman when no one but him thought he was going to win that fight. And the way he won that fight. And he had that man beat before they got in the ring.
Oh, yeah. Done.
I've never seen anything like it. And I've never seen him through religion, societal justice, etc. I've never seen someone impact a world of folks and force them to look inward. And I'm not sure Michael did that. It was admiration. But Ali would sit on the stage and field questions from white women in London and force them to answer questions about themselves that they're like, yeah, I can't believe I just said that. And I just don't know of any other athlete who's ever done that and been the best at their craft from freaking Louisville, Kentucky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of all places. Yeah, no doubt. Got one for you.
Was this yours?
No, absolutely mine.
Oh, Ali was going to be yours?
Sure. Okay. Absolutely, absolutely. I was just going to move to new topic.
Can we, before we do that?
Yeah.
How about, because I think this is only fair, most iconic female athlete.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
that's a good question.
Ooh, really good one. I mean, it'd be really easy right now.
I know.
I mean.
It's really easy right now to say Serena. Super easy, I think. Her latest run, U.S. Open, and just what she's accomplished as a tennis player. I don't care what Margaret Court has to say about her. She's just better. But I think that what she's done for the game of tennis, for particularly women of color who really aspire to be at the top of their game and actually just play tennis, period. I think we're going to see the benefits of what she did for this game for generations to come. And I think it has taken the sport to another level, particularly when it comes to women's tennis. I think the men's game is in need of something like that. But what she's done to elevate the women's game in tennis has been sort of remarkable.
I can't disagree. I'd like to find another iconic female athlete. Now, the only one that I came up with, and it's not an athlete, it's just iconic female in the athletic world, would be, I think, forgive me if I get the name wrong.
Oh, no, not yeah. Bruce Jenner.
No. No.
Well, is it though?
No.
I was going to say Pat Summitt.
Okay.
Someone who changed the face of women's athletics.
Yeah.
And an impact in such an immeasurable way. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, to do what she did with team after team after team after team and just put women's basketball on a national stage mm-hmm. to the point where dudes were actually watching. Like, I want to watch Tennessee Volunteers, mm-hmm. Women's basketball. Before that, no one was doing that.
But how many women have won the male decathlon? Only one.
No, things go quiet on the podcast.
No, is it?
Okay.
Want to honor people?
No, I think. What?
I mean, Caitlyn Jenner. I mean, if you're gonna say that, I mean, if you're gonna put it out there, of course. We've got to enter that into the conversation.
Is she not?
Well, of course.
Second to Serena as the most iconic female.
She?
Am I wrong?
I didn't say you were wrong.
Doesn't she identify as a woman now?
She does, but she was a male.
Yeah, but she's a woman.
But when she competed, she was a male.
Isn't that iconic? That we're having this conversation and that we're talking about.
Do we need to go define iconic now? Is that what we need to do?
Look, I don't think it'll ever be done again.
You don't know that.
Right. I don't think.
You don't know
I'm
that.
Saying I don't think.
You don't I don't know that. Think the majority. Here's why she or he is not iconic. Because I don't think the majority of the people that. That's the best way to put this.
You could have left it.
Delicately. Left it weird. The majority of people who are followers of hers and really into her story probably couldn't tell you what he did in athletics to gain the attention.
He's a Kardashian extension.
And that's not exactly iconic in the athletic world.
Got it.
So that would be my reasoning that I wouldn't put.
All right, fair enough. I just want to throw it out there.
Your name is Reggie Bush. That was really dope.
Sorry. Wanted to throw it out there.
I know. Right. I should have left that alone. So
you had something brewing.
I did have something. And for my Jewish friends out here, which wanted to obviously recognize Rosh Hashanah.
Oh, thank you.
What would be your greatest Jewish athlete of all time?
Is that even a cool to ask that question?
It is cool, but
be real.
I'm reminded of the scene from Airplane where they handed out, would you like a book on best Jewish athletes? And it was a pamphlet.
Hopefully it's not offensive. It wasn't intended to be.
Wow. Are we going best or most iconic?
I think either
one. All right, fine.
You can go either one.
Yeah. Got it. Sandy Koufax.
Now, I mean, back to how many teams was he playing against?
The discussion is going to be very short here.
Two. Just joking. The Brooklyn Dodgers and Yankees.
Let's see.
Were there any other teams playing baseball?
Koufax was there. No, I think baseball was pretty.
I'm joking.
Pretty big. In the
was field. It still segregated then?
Koufax would have pitched in the 50s and 60s. Yeah. It would have been still segregated.
I'm just throwing that out there. Is that fair?
I mean, was his question fair? Best Jewish athlete?
you chose the answer.
I had to pick what I could.
I don't know if I would have humored him on that.
I don't have that many to go for.
You can ask him best black athletes.
Michael Jordan.
I'm going to go down the list. In golf, we have not many. Tennis had a bunch. None of them very good. Aaron Trickstein.
Baseball players.
Gabe Kapler.
Zab Judah.
Okay.
You know who Zab Judah is?
No.
He's a boxer.
He knows any boxing question you could ever ask.
No, but I'm answering you. You said that's Jewish.
I don't know who that is.
Zab Judah.
Okay, cool. Tell us more.
But I'm going to do some research and get back to you on this question. I think it's a fair question. It's just you have to dive a little deeper because nothing comes to
pull it up.
You know,
don't let me stop you.
Comes to mind as to the top. I mean, I can give you the best Jewish owner in sports.
Well, Joe Lacob and what's his partner's name?
I can give you worst Jewish owner in sports. We can go there.
Who's that?
Could be Sarver.
Oh yeah, I forgot. Won't be for long.
This is gonna go
Dan
so.
Dan Snyder.
This is gonna go really badly for me, because the way you could go, we go Sarver, we go Snyder, we go. What's his bucket from the clip joint, the sicko.
The clip joint.
Yeah, the guy who had forced
Donald
to sell
Sterling?
The team.
That's right.
Yeah, there
he
you
did
go.
What?
Donald Sterling.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
So Judah is black. He's an avowed, his dad is an avowed black Hebrew Israelite. And Judah's family has declared themselves as Jewish.
Oh, I got another answer then. Amari Stoudemire.
Yeah, Amari's converted Jew.
Yep.
Yeah.
Moved to
Israel.
Moved to Israel, played basketball in the Israeli league. So into it that.
Yeah, loves the culture.
Moved out there.
So Zab was an incredible boxer. fought the likes of, you know, Floyd Mayweather, et cetera. So just throwing a little wrench out there around.
Let me throw something out.
Jewish.
Outside of the United States, what's the best sports town in the world, sports city in the world, outside of the United States?
Madrid, maybe?
Okay. What'd you say, Brazil?
Madrid.
Oh, Madrid?
Madrid, yeah.
If you start pulling football into it, maybe London.
Bingo. That's where I would have gone.
Oh, yeah, Manchester.
London. I
mean, yeah.
Liverpool.
No, those aren't. Liverpool's from Liverpool.
I know, yeah. But I'm just saying the surrounding area.
He's a metro guy.
I'm a metro guy, man.
He's a metro
going all the way around. You know that
there are 7 Premier League teams in London. I mean, you talk about.
Oh, that's right.
That's
right.
That's amazing. Excuse me. Can you imagine 7 NBA teams in.
No, see, that tells you right there.
They're getting, you know, 60,000, yeah. 60,000, 70,000 fans per game every weekend. 7 teams in the same
that's crazy.
City.
Though I think you guys did bring up a good point that I'll acknowledge on the New York teams. The fact that they don't actually play, some of them don't actually play in the city, like the football teams, I kind of struggle with that. I'm not going to kid you.
I don't struggle with it because the nature of New York is that you can't build an 85,000 seat
where would you play?
In Midtown Manhattan.
Okay, so then call them the New Jersey. Where would you whatever. Play Manhattan? That's fine.
That's a good point, but you did call them the New Jersey Nets. They did.
Don't both football teams play in Jersey?
They do, but I don't accept your.
You know,
I don't accept what you're selling here.
I mean, you can start extending the hell out of stuff. You think that's fair?
Yeah, I think it's. I mean, Los Angeles teams don't technically play in Los Angeles. They play in Carson or
80,000 fan stadium.
Well, at least it's the same state
in Manhattan.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, fair enough.
It's the same state. I mean, we just take a whole other state.
But I mean, like the Washington Redskins. Washington Commanders.
Commanders.
Sorry. They played in Maryland for years.
For years?
Yeah. This is right across the way from D.C. FedEx Field's in Maryland. And sure. Whatever. RFK. So I think RFK was in Maryland as well.
RFK's in D.C.
All right.
Yeah, so.
All right, 7 minutes. I got one more question. It's a good one.
What is it?
It's a good one. Most iconic sports venue?
Madison Square
Garden. We already said Madison Square Garden.
Okay.
That's pretty.
Madison Square Garden.
I mean, that's hard.
I think that'll maybe change over the next 2 decades. But right now, I think it's still Madison Square Garden. You know you're going to see an event. I've watched a boxing match in Madison Square Garden, had season tickets for the Knicks. There really is nothing like it.
I don't know if I can argue with that. I mean, Madison Square Garden. And here's the funny thing. I've never been inside Madison Square Garden.
You walk in and you
I've never been inside of it.
Have you been inside
Madison? I've never been inside of it.
You feel it. You feel it when you walk in, you know, and see the Bulls play, right? Chicago United Center or whatever it was. But I'll be honest with you. I've seen concerts there. I've seen boxing matches. I've seen basketball games. It's incredible.
The only thing I can compare that to is probably 2 places. Fenway.
Yeah.
Going inside Fenway Park is just a different experience.
I mean, and the Rose Garden.
That's what I thought.
How did you guess? Wrigley Field.
Good answer.
Oh, you know what? Wrigley Field's something else.
Wrigley Field is something else. It's a different deal.
For you, it's
MSG? Well, I'm not going to – Wrigley Field would be mine from a personal standpoint. I mean, I've always said when I pass away, I want my ashes poured at Wrigley Field. I mean, we had season tickets there for 40 years. I think there's nothing like it in sports. But that being said, do I think it's the most iconic sports arena in the world?
No, you don't.
Yeah, you can't say that. But I mean, you can certainly put it on a list and say, hey, this is like,
I would actually,
from what I've experienced. Right?
I would put, as much as it pains me to say it, I would take another place in New York, but not Madison Square Garden. Yankee Stadium.
The old one?
The old Yankee Stadium. That.
Well, if you're going to start going down the old list, you can say the old Boston
the Garden. Garden. The old Garden. But old Yankee Stadium, the old
Candlestick Park. I mean, we can do this all day.
Yeah, but
it's really the most iconic thing.
Yeah, I think across the world. So I'm thinking people are looking across the world. They're watching games. They know Yankee Stadium. They don't. Maybe they know the Garden because the Garden had parquet.
Absolutely, they know the Garden.
I disagree with you guys. No the way. NBA's influence across the world. But it's more than
not
just
the NBA. Britney
Spears,
it's concerts,
Manny Pacquiao. It's I mean,
boxing.
It's not parquet at the Garden. There's no parquet for the Britney Spears.
I'm not putting the Garden up there.
Oh, what were you talking? You were talking about Madison Square Garden. I'm not disagreeing with you.
That's what we said.
You said the Garden,
Madison Square Garden.
Oh, I thought you were talking Boston Garden.
No, MSG.
Oh, MSG. No, you know, I think what we're doing is like a whole love affair with New York now.
So how about this since we got
Yankee Stadium, new, old, there's something about it. There's something about watching Yankee Stadium. There's something about Americana, if you will. The rest, everybody just knows Yankee Stadium.
Well, let me say, you have to say Chavez Ravine. Ugh. Dodger Stadium, yeah.
It is. It's iconic.
You have to. What is that?
It's a crap hole.
Tom De La Sada.
So here's the deal. Most iconic
sports team. Now you're going to make me throw in Rose Garden.
Ever.
Ooh.
Team ever for a season?
Take
or
your
for,
pick.
For a season pick or a for season. Like
these
a,
are different
or,
answers.
Or, so pick a legacy.
Or a run.
Pick legacy. Pick a team or in a year or a legacy. Your choice.
Oh, come on. That's two different questions, right?
You can pick. Or pick which one do you want to answer?
I'll go team.
I'll go team.
I'll give you the greatest team in the history of sports.
Pittsburgh Steelers.
No.
I mean Pittsburgh.
No. I'm going to give you the greatest
Pirates.
Team in the history of sports. I'm going to take this drink. I'm gonna
Miami Dolphins,
and I'm
baby.
Just going to walk out because there's no
Don't
other
do
answer.
That.
1985 Chicago Bears.
It wasn't a team.
1985.
I knew that was coming.
1985 Chicago Bears were a juggernaut that we have never seen before.
Just because they had a video.
We will never see it again. Super Bowl shuffle.
The Super Bowl shuffle.
The talent on that team.
The talent on that defense.
85 Chicago.
The talent on that defense.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. Walter Payton, no good. Offensive line is the best offensive line in NFL history. Willie Gault, Jim McMahon. Come on.
Don't throw Jim McMahon at the end. Come on, man. Stop.
I mean, you're talking about their offense. They scored 46 points in the Super Bowl. So there's your I think best single season team.
What was their record that season? Do you remember?
They were 15-1.
Look, it was a hell of a team. I like defense.
Great team.
Okay, you weren't going to do a lot on the other side of the ball with them. I will grant you that. Mm-hmm. You would rank them over the 72 Dolphins? What?
Yes.
Undefeated?
I would rank it higher than the 72 Dolphins. You know, I can give you one name off the 72 Dolphins. I think Larry Zonka. Maybe Dan Stark was their quarterback.
And I'll keep naming names, and you'll be like, oh, I didn't. Mercury Morris.
I've never heard of him.
I'm going with the 72 10 Bulls.
72 who?
72 and 10 Bulls.
What 72 and 10 Bulls.
Was that 96?
I thought you should say
was that
1972 Bulls, and I was like,
was that 96? What year was that?
I don't know what year they did, 72 and 10, but that's a good call.
Really?
It's a great team.
They lost 10 games
lost
all 10 year.
And won the championship.
And rolled through the playoffs. Rolled. Best single season team you got?
You know, I may have to go with those Dolphins. And undefeated in a sport like football.
Hard to do.
Come on, man.
Really hard to do.
And they just put it together. I mean, you know, never been done. But one
you know
time.
You know they get together every year when the undefeated team loses.
I don't know if it'll ever happen again.
And how fitting it was.
You know what? Yeah. I think you're right.
Bears only loss that season was to the Dolphins. Monday Night Football. Marino said, I'm not going to let it happen.
Think about the Patriots who lost. The only game they lost was in the Super Bowl against the Giants. They were 15-0. No, probably. They played more games in the
playoffs. Then it would have been 17 or 18.
No, this was no. This is what Marino wasn't the quarterback.
85
was he went? Yeah. No, I mean when the Dolphins
72.
Won, no, it was
Greasy. Was it Brian Greasy or
Bob Greasy? Yeah, I think I think I have to go with that team.
Yeah,
Zaka, I think I may have to go with that team.
All right, we have 7 seconds. Most iconic sports franchise. We got to get it in.
Iconic. I hate to say it. You know, oh, man. I guess I'll go ahead and say, I hate to admit this, it's probably the Dallas Cowboys. And I don't think they are. But
and honestly, I wasn't even going to go in that direction, even though I'm a Cowboys fan. I was literally going to say, and I hate to say this too, but I was going to say the Boston Celtics. Hard not to be.
Don't. You know what? Chicago Bulls are up there, though.
No.
I don't know.
I would say it starts and ends with one team.
New York Knicks.
New York Yankees.
You know what?
I'm looking at it across the world.
I can't argue that. You go back to Reggie Jackson.
Very hard to argue Monty. For sure. I mean, they've had 20, so many teams.
How many world championships?
So many players.
How many World always Series in the title?
Heart, always relevant. Always relevant.
Yeah, you know what?
And just, I mean, you get into the granular, the uniform, the pinstripes, the NY. You go all over the world. And
always some controversy.
Yankee hats. I mean, it's just.
Clean shaven. No, yeah.
Billy Martin, Steinbrenner, Jackson, Jeter.
A-Rod.
Yeah.
It just doesn't end. Babe Ruth. I mean, like. That's an iconic franchise.
It's hard to pick your favorite Yankee. For me, it might be Reggie.
Because you go
Reggie
with
Jackson.
A team like the Bulls.
Yeah, for sure.
And you pull out a Bulls. You pull out their run.
Yeah.
But then you go into the 60s and the 70s. Nothing. And nothing. Zero. I mean, zero.
Zero.
The Yankees.
Always around.
You just keep going back decades, and you're like, wait. Always. Wait, they were the best team in the 1920s? Yeah. And then they were the best team in the 30s. And so you got to
have
the Yankees.
Best player today. I mean, it's just. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. You know, or I go Manchester United.
Yeah, we'll stop
on a
there.
World stage.
It's a tough one to argue too.
Yeah.
Go ahead. The last thing I'll say before we close, you guys may have laughed at this. Where I was going to struggle was, I don't think Carl Lewis gets enough credit for what he's done in sport. To transform what was perceived as an amateur sport, where you simply go to the Olympics as an athlete, hopefully get an endorsement and move on to, this is how I live and I need to be able to make money and I'm going to make sure that we are able to make money.
He doesn't get enough credit for sure. For sure.
And his diversity of talent.
Mm, yeah.
He was as good at the long jump as he was at the 200, as he was at the 100. So I happened to have the opportunity to meet him and that man says what's on his mind. He was a killer. So I don't think Carl Lewis gets enough credit.
There you have it, folks.
So maybe that's most underrated.
I like
it. New category. Most underrated.
Go ahead. Hey, this is our show. We can go as long as we want.
New category.
Who's stopping us?
But most underrated.
Oh, that's a good one.
So I got, that's mine.
That's a really thinky man's question right there. Carl Lewis it's a hell of an answer.
I like it.
Most underrated. I'm going to look to Charles so that you can talk and then I can keep thinking.
Maybe think come up with a good answer. Most underrated athlete?
Boy.
We may have mentioned her earlier.
I have a good one, though. She may not be the most underrated, but I think she is underrated. But it's because of her sister.
Venus?
I think she's underrated. I really do. She, quite frankly, was the... She was the player when, they came out as a.
But then what happened?
Her sister got better. She got way better.
Yeah.
Right? And, but I think Venus has always been a very, very good tennis player in her own right. And I don't think she gets the credit for being, between the two of them, sort of the pioneer to get them on that stage.
Fair enough.
And so I think she doesn't get as much recognition And I think she feels that. I mean, you ever see, like, when they cut over to Venus doing...
No, I haven't picked up
one. You should... I don't know if you'd ever see it now at this point, but in terms of, like, the video or the footage, but there's always this sort of, like... You know, she's clapping and happy for her sister, but she's not overjoyed. I don't know what that is. I could be reading it wrong, but I've had other people go, look at that face. And I think part of it is that, you know, she, for some time, I mean, she's won a number of Grand Slams. And
very successful.
She was very successful as a player, but it's all Serena, which in every right it should be.
It's a tough era to compete
for sure her. To compete with your sister, but at the same time, I think she's a. I don't know that people. I think people will look back and almost forget that she was as good of a tennis player as she was. I really do.
These are thought provoking. I like it. I would go with maybe two different, both from the same franchise, but about 20 years apart. And I go with Mario Lemieux and Sidney Crosby.
Okay.
Both world champions, both won Stanley Cups. Sidney Crosby could walk down the street of most American towns.
I would definitely agree with him.
And no one would know.
Yeah.
No one would know. And
I would agree.
He was at Sid the Kid's best. He was the best hockey player in the world.
For years, wasn't he?
Yep.
Yeah.
But... is he in regular conversation?
I would agree with that.
No?
He's not in the conversation Gretzky's in.
No, right? Not a chance. If someone says, name, you know, best hockey player, no one's ever going to say Sidney Crosby. Name hockey player that had most influence on their franchise. In Pittsburgh, you're going to say Mario Lemieux. You're not going to say Sidney Crosby. Yep. You know, Lemieux That's owns the team now.
That I mean, good.
I'm going to go Sid the Kid.
Good.
Yeah.
I like
Will Chamberlain in that conversation, too.
Underrated?
Yeah.
I mean, he was pretty highly rated, wasn't he?
He was very highly rated.
Does he fall in either of your top five?
It's hard for me to say because I wasn't around at his peak, so I don't know how people viewed or looked at him or talked about him.
Yeah, well, even when we talk about it today in sport.
He didn't come up.
He doesn't come up in people's top five.
Well, he doesn't. If you're talking about,
they'll put Kawhi Leonard up there.
Slaying the ladies. That's.
I wasn't gonna say that.
Okay.
Leave that alone.
I touched it. I went there. It's all right.
Well, thank you.
And Bill Russell, I think, is also highly underrated. He's not in the conversation either, and should.
Well, I did bring him up earlier.
I'm saying in the underrated conversation.
Yes, for sure. For sure.
I think that's fair.
Yeah. So.
It's been good, fellas. I like it. I think Larry has earned the right
to say
the right to be a semi-occasional guest on the Conscious Spot.
So like twice a year, three times a year?
I think you could get more than twice.
Okay. That would be good.
More than that.
Twice. It's already been twice and it's already right. been.
It has. It's been twice this summer.
Twice in the quarter.
Which I'm a little concerned that it's twice in the summer because most people are gone.
No. So. No. We do a lot of remote guests.
Hirsch is still here. He's got to work. So
no, we take time off, no. man. So we you
exactly
in a tight window here. So that's
Yeah. Welcome to the team.
Thank you so much. It's good to be here. We got to do a podcast by the sea maybe next year.
Yeah,
that would be great.
We'll talk to you later about the initiation
and the buy-in.
More importantly, the buy-in.
Yeah, like we can structure it over 5 years, but.
But you know what? It is cool to have diverse perspectives on the show. I actually do appreciate that. Because,
oh, for sure. A lot of fun.
We've all got our historical narratives and inspiration points.
But I think at some point we should look at what you were talking about, but what I brought up, and you guys seem surprised by the fact that I brought up that I thought that Michael Jordan changed the way that Americans looked at African-Americans. Now, remember, I'm not saying me, but I grew up in Chicago. So for me, he didn't change a thing other than the fact that I love Michael Jordan. To the guy from Arkansas or the guy from Kansas, I think it changed.
I just hadn't had that perspective or thought. So, I mean, it was a little surprising to me. I'm not saying it's not true. Suddenly, I don't have context for that.
Suddenly it was somebody who, I mean, I know.
Are you saying white people?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
So you're saying white Americans. Well, yeah. Because your first you said people, then you said Americans.
White.
Now you're basically saying
white. Well, white not even white, white Americans.
I'm saying hillbillies. I mean, like what
you said it not
no.
me.
No, I'm trying to get real tight. You said Arkansas.
I would never say hillbillies.
Small, you won't have to. I'm saying
small.
There
town,
are hillbillies in Arkansas.
Small town America, and it was. I think that Michael changed the way that small town Americans, less urban Americans, looked at the African American athlete.
Is he letting us in on a secret? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
I'm just trying to figure out
because I get it. I mean, you know, obviously, sports figures have a way of changing narratives and perspectives. But also,
isn't that why someone's an icon, because they change the way?
Yeah, but at the same time, you know, as Kanye would say, all falls down. They still look at you as a, I know y'all won't use the word, but yeah.
Now that, you're not going to hear any argument out of me on that.
Do I think?
So I just don't know how much you change people's real perspectives about what they really think about people at the end of the day, just because you can damn shoot a basketball. I don't know if it changes anything about what they really believe about a group of people or people.
I think that's a true statement.
I think those people you're talking about found him acceptable because they bought in on how he improved the visual of America. I don't think it had anything to do with, I'm starting to dig black people.
Well, that's
I think primarily that's it was, if I can attach myself to this success, because there's a story about America in that, it does something for my profile. That's where I struggle with it, because I don't think it necessarily changed how they engaged from an everyday perspective.
No, I would agree.
But I think it made some black folks more tolerable.
I remember reading an article about Marcus Smart in Boston, which is Boston, which you wouldn't be surprised when I tell you the story. But he was leaving the arena after a game and was crossing the street. And somebody blew their horn out, blew their horn at him. Was like, get out of the road, in. And he looked in the car, the person driving, they were wearing a Marcus Smart jersey.
Yeah, see, none of that
think
surprises
about that.
Me.
That doesn't surprise me either, no, right? But it just tells you how you can put the jersey on with the back of the name, and it means nothing about the individual who's walking down the street who looks like that person. You don't care.
Well, that's
about
that's a great topic, because I always think about it when I'm watching. We live in this political firestorm right mm-hmm. now. That's scary. And you watch college sports. And you know, I'm watching the other day. I'm watching. I think it was Georgia? No, it wasn't Florida. Georgia. Whoever. Florida, Tennessee was playing. 112,000 people at Neyland Stadium. There's not a white person on the field. And I'm thinking to myself.
Not even a quarterback?
No, Tennessee's quarterback, African-American. And there's 112,000 people going crazy for these 24 guys. But boy, howdy, I bet if you talk to them on
absolutely
an individual basis.
Point.
And I couldn't help but think that as I was watching this.
Exactly.
That's absolutely.
And
it's my point as well.
So I don't think it really changes.
That's my whole point. That's why I said
I think they've always looked at the athletic prowess of
black folks. Michael Jordan as someone who changes that whole perspective.
Okay, fair enough.
But yeah. I do hear what you're saying about it was an opportunity for a black athlete with really dark skin, right, to now be looked at as a family man.
And I'm gonna buy something that you've endorsed. I'm going to let my kids wear your sneakers.
Yeah.
That was a change.
Eat your cereal.
Yep.
Yeah.
Whether we like it or not, that was a change. And so, again, we go back to this, you know, what was the most iconic athlete? To me, Michael represents so much more than the fact that he was the greatest basketball player of all time. In my mind, he transcended not just the game of basketball, but he transcended life. I mean, he changed so much of the way that we look at athletes and we look at the marketing of the game, and the marketing of an individual.
Yeah, and I think Ali's willingness to say, if you want to put me in prison, put me in prison. Arguably at the peak of his
career.
I mean, I just don't know if it gets any more.
No, it doesn't. Says everything you need to know about the man.
Yeah. Deep. Real deep. All of it's deep, though. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Brothers, this has been good. It's been great.
It's been awesome.
Yeah. We, again, our new team member, Mr. Hirsch.
Absolutely.
Did we cover 45 minutes?
We covered more than 45 minutes. And I'll send you wiring instructions afterwards. And thank you for joining us on The Conscious Vibe.
Thank you for joining us.
And check us out on tcvpodcast.com.